This is an iHeart podcast.
Have you ever heard of a hot wash? No, I'm not talking about your wife doing the laundry or your car. I'm talking about, as it pertains to combat situations, a hot wash. You ever heard that term? Well, here's what it is, just in case you haven't. There are different terms for it, but essentially, if you go out on a patrol, a mission, anything of any kind, when you get back, almost immediately, you will gather and you will discuss it. And it is a very, very direct discussion, meaning who screwed up, who did good, who did bad. Why did you do this? That was terrible. You almost killed everybody. Why did you do that? A hot wash. Now, from the outside looking in, that almost seems a touch cruel, or it can seem a little bit cruel. Everybody just got back. They're tired. Maybe people died. Why are you doing this? Well, it's not about what happened before. It's about ensuring that going forward, if there were mistakes made, and there are always mistakes made, those mistakes are discussed, they are exposed, discussed, and a solution is brought up. That's why it is, but it's the norm, happens all the time. That's why we're going to discuss Joe Biden's decline and Joe Biden's cover-up right now. It's not an old topic. It's everything. If the president of the United States of America is not a fully functional adult, we have a right to know. If we are not told, and that president destroys so much in 4 years, then you and me, as citizens of the United States of America, are owed an explanation. We deserve to know who did what. I want names. I want actions. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to get fired up here. I'm not going to get my blood pressure fired up. But we recently had Memorial Day. And that is a heavy day. It's a very heavy day where we focus on the fallen, remembering the fallen. And I know you remember Afghanistan. And specifically, I know you remember the explosion, the suicide bomber at Abbey Gate that claimed the lives of 13 of our best. 13 of our best. They lost their lives there. But it's not just that they lost their lives there. They didn't have to. You see, we had Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan. Large, very, very secure. Suicide bomber is not going to be able to get in there. Somebody, I don't know who, somebody decided to pull out of Afghanistan overnight. We abandoned this secure Air Force Base. Afghanistan then, of course, collapsed almost immediately to the Taliban. The Biden administration, somebody, we don't know who, didn't like the poll numbers in the media that they were getting. And so somebody, we don't know who, sent our troops back into Afghanistan, only now they weren't guarding a secure Air Force base. We had our troops trying to guard a civilian airport completely exposed. And that's why a scumbag suicide bomber was able to put on a ball-bearing bomb vest and nuke 13 of our best and our brightest. And I would like to know who exactly is responsible for that call, because it dang sure wasn't this guy.
An attack by a group known as ISIS-K took the lives of American service members standing guard at the airport, wounded several others seriously. We have so much to do. It's within our capacity to do it. We just have to remain steadfast. Steadfast. Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
The first person I was instructed to call on. So someone with a name, a title, an address, a social security number, somebody made that terrible, fateful decision that ended the lives of 13 of our best and brightest. And I want to know who. I don't want his staff, inner circle. I want a name. I want to know who handed the president instructions. And I'll tell you something else. As an American citizen, I am owed a name. You are owed a name. And look, of course, now we know some of the names around Joe Biden. Who did what specifically, I don't know. But did you at any point in time in the 4 years of Joe Biden's disastrous presidency ever step back in awe, in horrified awe, at how fast they were destroying everything, almost as if it was intentional? For instance, the border. Let's just talk about the border. Let's make it about the border for a moment. Remember, Donald Trump's first 4 years had plenty of highs, plenty of lows, but the border being secure is maybe the greatest thing he did. Donald Trump, in his first 4 years, secured the border, meaning when Joe Biden took office, the border was secured. No action was necessary. The border was secured. The border was closed. And so how did 20 million foreigners flood into our country in 4 years? Well, somebody purposely tore down that security. Somebody did something to ensure 20 million people, rapists, murderers, drug dealers, barbarians, would flood into this country and pillage it. Who in the world did that? Who would be that evil? Who could possibly hate America so much that they would do something like that? Well, I don't know, probably a group of people, but I do know this. Mao Zedong murdered over 50 million of his own countrymen. On the laundry list of most evil people who've ever walked the planet, I don't know where Mao Zedong ranks, but I promise you he's in the top 10. So if someone in the White House holds these views, someone by the name of Anita Dunn, and if that someone held the power of the presidency, that's the kind of someone who would open up your border.
And then the third lesson and tip actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other, but the two people that I turn to most. In 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China over, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalist Chinese held the cities. They had the army. They had the air force. They had everything on their side. And people said, how can you win? How can you do this? How can you do this against all of the odds against you? And Mao Zedong said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine.
You can hear the love and admiration in her voice. Maybe it was Ron Klain. Maybe it was Jill Biden. I don't know. Maybe it was all of these people. But what I do know is the country I love was put to the torch for 4 years by people who very clearly hated it. And what I do know is that person was not Joe Biden. Whether he loves the country or hates the country, I don't know. Obviously, he has not been a functional adult for some time. So I want to know who did it. I want to know the media people, names, organizations responsible for not disclosing what they knew about Joe Biden. And let's do something when it comes to the media, because we're about to bring Megyn Kelly in. The media knew. Remember this. I lived in Washington, D.C. for a short period of my life. You've never been in a more gossipy town in your entire life. You can go out for 2 hours to have dinner with friends on a Friday night, and by the time you get back home, you will know which congressman cheats on his wife, his taxes, and drives a Mercedes-Benz that he got in delivery from a Saudi oil sheik. It is a town where everyone discusses everything. So every member of the corporate press knew about Joe Biden, knew how bad it was. They all covered it up. Who did the covering? And inside of the White House, who burned down my country? I deserve to know. I know two people who most definitely participated in it. And they wrote a book now that they're out selling to everybody under the sun. talking about how they're just discovering all this from sources. And these two morons actually went on Megyn Kelly's show and sat there while she grilled them.
Now, with the current White House, I have some connections. With the Joe Biden White House, I had none. But you did. You did. And so you've been in Washington 30 years, Jake. You guys, you and CNN have White House connections. But there was no effort, none, to get to the bottom of this. And now for you guys to write this book like there was a cover-up, it's like there was a cover-up and there was an attempted cover-up. It could only ever work if you allowed it, if the press allowed it. Some of us tried not to, and some of us were complicit. Time and time again, when issues came up, you seemed to be running cover for the president.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I mean, we'll start with the Laura Trump issue that you referred. Here it is.
I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay. I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline.
Do you want to apologize to Laura Trump now?
I've already apologized to her. I called her months ago.
I'm so uncomfortable right now. I have used poor judgment many times in my life, both professionally and personally, certainly with women in my younger years. I don't think I've ever done something as dumb as going on Megyn Kelly's show after I spent 4 years lying through my teeth. Joining me now, Megyn Kelly, host of the Megyn Kelly Show. Megyn, I'm not even an uncomfortable person, very comfortable. And watching that a second time, actually, that's like the 10th time I've watched that. I'm squirming in my chair over here. Why would they go on your show? I love your show, but I'd never go on it if I lied.
You know, it's not a good idea. I always laugh because not necessarily that interview, but some people will come on and try to spin me. And I always think to myself, a simple Google search would have served you really well before you agreed to do this. But okay. I mean, Tapper knew, to his credit, he knew I was going to give him a hard time because we're friendly. You know, we've never hung out socially, but we've been in the same industry for a long, long time. And he knew very well that I was going to give him a hard time, and he wanted to stand for it, which he did. And that would be the end of the hard time that he would get on his media tour, because every other media personality, I think other than Stephen A. Smith, has completely gone along with the ruse that it was just unknowable, this mental decline, unless you had a more honest White House, and that this book blows the lid off of the scandal that they managed to keep under wraps somehow for 4 years.
Yeah, the gall on these people really is amazing. To write a book and act like you're breaking a story that anybody with an internet connection and an iPhone could have seen 4 years ago.
Yes.
It was obvious to everybody. So, Megyn, what, in your opinion, what is the game here? Everyone can see. Is it selling books? Is this rehabbing the Democrat Party? Is this going to be in some way a way to focus attacks on Trump? Well, now we need to know about Donald Trump's medical records. What is it? Because there's something at play that's not journalism. I know that.
Well, I mean, I think Alex Thompson came to it honestly because he tried to write this book solo of Axios. And he, by the way, he didn't do a great job covering the mental acuity, but he did do a great job when Kamala was the candidate of trying to hold her to account for her multiple flip-flops in 2019. Axios and Alex Thompson were like the one outlet other than in our world, you know, in the digital lane, that was trying to get to that. So I give him more credibility. But he tried to write this book and they wouldn't publish it. They pulled his deal, saying like, no, there's no market for this. So then after Biden lost, he connected with Tapper, who was a bigger name and has an instant platform because he's on CNN. So this is how publishers look at it. And they say, oh, okay, you can sell that book because you've got now a name associated with it. And for Tapper, it was a chance to whitewash everything he had done and to pretend that he had been honest about this all along, and that like now he was going to cleanse the sin that he'd helped commit by doing some honest reporting on how bad it was. And that would not only absolve him as a reporter, but would serve as the vehicle for all the rest of the so-called mainstream press to launder their own complicity in the scandal by being shocked, absolutely shocked, that there was gambling in this casino. I mean, just couldn't believe about this Biden mental decline. And the book is the perfect cover for this because it does have new details that even surprised me as somebody who did cover, and I know you were all over it. But of course, there would be new details that we weren't able to access because we're not friends with Mike Donilon or the people who are super tight with Joe Biden. You need Democrats to get you those stories. So that's why the book does have some purpose to it.
Megan, I can't decide which part of this scandal is worse, the media cover-up or the actual actions that were taking place inside of the White House. The media should have exposed this before Joe Biden was even the Democrat nominee. They should have exposed it, should have stopped that. That's, frankly, in my opinion, that's the media's job. But that brings us to the Joe Biden White House. Who was signing executive orders? Who was signing pardons? Who was conducting foreign policy? Megan, we just celebrated, well, celebrated, we just honored Memorial Day, where 13 people died at Abbey Gate because of decisions that came from the White House. Who made those decisions?
The book doesn't say anything about who specifically made those decisions, but it does give you the inner circle. It's like four, maybe five people around Joe Biden and also Jill Biden's chief of staff, who were very involved in everything and ran the roost over there. That guy, Mike Donilon, who I mentioned, chief among them, who'd been with Biden for 30 years, who to the end was saying he was totally competent, there was no scandal there. And yes, you're looking at her right now, Jill Biden and Hunter Biden too, according to this book, very much involved in the cover-up and decision-making around the president, including around policy issues. And that's why we need a bipartisan, ideally, commission to actually look into the answers to that. But I don't care if it has to be one-sided partisan. We actually do need an entity with subpoena power that actually will act on the investigation, because one got started and then died, into who issued these pardons. Is Hunter Biden really pardoned if he pardoned himself? And some of these other rulings, like Trump's been saying, Biden was never this far-left progressive that he, too, like many of us, had questions about. Why is he governing like AOC? It's not what he ran on. It's not what the people elected. But his chief of staff was pretty left. And there's a real question about whether, you know, this guy Ron Klain and Jeff Zients, who came after him, were making these decisions. And if so, we're entitled to know. But wait, I want to say one other thing about the journalists and why they felt the need to do this. They're genuinely angry at Biden for losing. Like, now that the gamble of trying to lie to all of us that he was fine didn't pay off, they're pissed. And now they want to punish him because he didn't get that ball across the end zone into the end zone. And they're angry. So now they're happy to stab him in the back and say he's the source of all our problems, because they're very angry Trump won. And on that same front, now that Trump's president, they want to act like they deeply care about mental acuity. And they, of course, now we've learned from the sins of the Biden era. So it's very, very important to be very deep on a president's fitness for office. Coincidentally, that president now happens to be Donald Trump. And you're already seeing this pair switch the messaging on their media tour to Trump's even less transparent. He's even less transparent than Joe Biden. And their Democrat allies are out there on places like Fox. We saw this with Seth Moulton, who went on Martha McCallum's show, trying to run that same playbook. Like, Trump's the one who almost got 25th Amendmented. After he didn't accept the election results in 2020, he's only one of these two men has had their cabinet talk about 25th Amendmenting them. And it was Trump. Nobody ever talked about that during Joe Biden, as though those two things are comparable at all. And now really Trump is the one with a mental acuity scandal that's being covered up.
Megan, where does the Democrat Party go from here? And I say this as someone who's actually nervous about it. And I'm nervous because they seem so lost, so bottomed out right now. Trump's numbers are still good, very, very solid. Democrat numbers are in the tank. Jasmine Crockett and her type have become the face of the party. They seem lost and hopeless and like they'll never win another election. But you, of course, know, as I do, that's not how it works. Parties come back. They find a way. Where do they go? What is the way forward?
I mean, they need to make like a surgeon and complete a massive excision of the woke leftist piece of their party. Unfortunately for them, the woke leftist piece of their party has eaten the main bulk center of their party. You know, to the point where none of us can really see what's left. There are like shards of glass that are the remaining centrists, but everything else is in just tatters over there. Like, who, like, name the person who could be the standard bearer, you know, like Rahm Emanuel. They're surfacing him as somebody's raising his hand to like step in. And now he was more of a centrist guy. He was an Obama guy. He was a Clinton guy, but he's as like establishment as they come. These young progressive, like Bernie Democrats, the AOC Democrats, they don't want Rahm Emanuel. They're not going to vote for him. Right. So it's like, there's a certain centrist Democrat who might go for him, but I just don't see them getting anywhere on the key issues that hurt them. They can't get out of their own way on the trans issue, which cost them the election. There was a massive survey by a Democratic survey group right after the election that showed the number one issue in those seven swing states was boys and girls sports. And they still haven't reversed themselves on it, Jesse. Still, that one guy, Seth Moulton, who I just happened to mention, I have nothing against this guy in particular, but he tried to reverse himself. He's a Massachusetts rep. He tried to say, okay, no, I don't want my girls to play against boys. He got browbeaten so badly, he immediately stood down on it. So it's like, they're not going to be able to do it. They need the surgeon, but it's unclear what can be excised because the cancer has metastasized to the entire party.
Oh, jeez, they're in trouble. Megan, you are the best. As always, keep doing what you do. I appreciate you very much.
Love talking to you. See you soon.
All right. We're not done. There's so much more to get to. Hang on. Well, putting your money where your morals are is getting easier, isn't it? It's getting easier because patriotic, bold Americans are starting incredible companies, and now if you need a product, a service, they're out there. But what about watches? Not really one you think about, is it? If you're going to buy a watch, do you have options? All these watch companies are filled. You have options now because Wasson Watch is here. Wasson Watch, run by a United States Marine, a veteran, unapologetic about talking about America, about God, about the life of the unborn. When I got my Wasson Watch, I got a Bible verse with it, handwritten. That's the kind of company we're talking about. And that's the kind of product we need to get behind. They're incredible. You want one? Go to wassonwatch.com and use the promo code Jesse. You get a big fat discount. wassonwatch.com, promo code Jesse.
This brings me to your conclusion, which said Joe Biden is not Richard Nixon. The hiding and the cover-up of his deterioration is not Watergate. I'm not entirely sure I agree, Jake, with that conclusion.
The next line is it is an entirely separate scandal. It is a scandal.
Yes.
It is without question, and maybe even worse than Watergate in some ways.
Right.
In some ways? I think if we had a president for 4 years who was not functional and Maoists in his inner circle were running the United States of America, that's a little bit bigger than a couple Republican operatives digging through a couple file drawers. Anyway, let's ask Alex about this. Joining me now, Alex Marlowe, editor-in-chief of the awesome Breitbart News. He also wrote the book Breaking the Law. Alex, bigger than Watergate, separate than Watergate, if people were covering up the fact that the United States president was not functional, that's like the biggest scandal of my lifetime.
Yeah, so Jesse, I got a bit of a contrarian take here. I think this is a media scandal. It's not a Biden scandal. I think everyone knew. I think that the evidence was very clear. And there's a lot of tips. I've read the book, Original Sin, and it's mostly spy fiction. I mean, it's mostly what it is. It's all based on anonymous sources. I researched Joe Biden very extensively throughout his presidency and before. I wrote a best-selling book called Breaking Biden, New York Times bestseller. There's very few new details in there. There's a lot of griping from people who are upset that Joe Biden lost and don't want any of the blame. Jake Tapper's incredibly unscrupulous. He's not a trustworthy guy. And he's someone who has framed this up as if it was only a handful of people. It was Mike Donilon. It was Jill Biden who covered this up. What are we talking about? Joe Biden wasn't forthcoming about his health for decades. He admitted he had sleep apnea and hid it for 50 years. He never came clean about his hair plugs or his plastic surgery. Graydon Carter had this newsletter where he tracked down all these plastic surgeons to speculate on all the work that Joe Biden's gotten done. He was lying about the little stuff, Jesse. So of course he was going to be lying about the big stuff. And the Democrat Party was content to go along with it. Sam Harris gave away the game last weekend where he said, you know what? He was better than Trump because Trump was evil. That's what this was all about. This is the biggest journalism scandal in history, not the biggest Biden scandal.
You know, I actually don't disagree with that take at all, Alex. I would probably put them equal. But yes, the Biden cover-up by Biden's circle is evil. But it's the media's job to stop these things from happening, whether it be Democrat or Republican. He should have never sniffed the Oval Office. It wasn't new. People remember that guy got caught with cue cards when he was campaigning the first time. He was never functional.
He was never functional. That's exactly right. And everyone knew that he had all these off days. He confuses his wife and his sister. He calls his sister the love of his life. He keeps smelling all the children. The corn pop rant where he's talking about where he calls black children roaches. Jesse, he called black children roaches in front of black children during the corn pop rant. And no one cares about this stuff. No, the media thought that he was the way to beat Trump. He thought he was the best chance. Also, the stuff that's in the book, they know, everyone knows Kamala's a terrible candidate. Everyone knows she's not going to win either. That's why they stuck with him. So this was all open secret. There was no cover up. And it's one of these things where I feel like I'm taking crazy pills sometimes because I watch everyone speculate on Biden's health. And then they act when they're looking for someone to blame. They're looking for someone to scapegoat and think, oh, we've got it. We can point to these anonymous people who are in Biden's Oval Office with him and we can just blame them. And then we have no culpability whatsoever. It's a dirty trick. And it's fine to fall for it because it's fun. Like, whatever. They're so lost on the left, Jesse. You know this as well as I do. Let them do this for a while, but it's just entertainment. This means nothing.
Alex, I'm going to ask you something before we get back to a couple other things that I just asked Megyn Kelly, actually. Where does the Democrat Party go from here? Because you just mentioned they're scrambling, and I was marinating on this morning. They seem so lost. They're unpopular. Republicans are not necessarily popular either, but they're way ahead of Democrats. Donald Trump is popular. The Democrats look like they don't have a chance, and they're never winning another election, which, of course, is not true. Parties come back when they're down. Yes. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, it's really important. Two parts to that. The first one is let's take on our side. We have to stay on a war footing. We have to be fired up. We have to get the agenda through. And we have to continue to recruit charismatic candidates, always be looking ahead. We can't think of their weakness as an excuse for us to slow down. We've made this mistake in the past, and we can't do it. Jesse, I know you're wired as a fighter. I am too. And that's one thing I dig about you. And I think that's really important to look to the fighters right now. Don't look for people to sit in their heels and just enjoy the moment. That said, the Democrats are so lost, it's unbelievable. Everyone in their party has old ideas. They're not charismatic. They can't decide, should they do dark woke? Even AOC, who's their only hope, really, is she's reheating abolishing ICE. Like, what is that about? Like, she was doing that in 2018, and that didn't work. Now she's going to go back to that again? It's just, they're so lost right now. It's glorious. They don't know whether or not to try to tack back to the center. They can't do that because their base and their donors don't like that. But they also can't lean into the woke because normal people, you know, those young white males they're trying to court, we don't like any of that stuff. So that's not going to work. So they're completely fledgling. They have nothing, which is why we must run up the score now.
Alex, I want to go back to something you mentioned after my first question because it brought some things to mind. You mentioned Joe Biden's hair plugs, his plastic surgery. It's right. Not just some funny side thing. No. This is something those of us who've been following politics for a while have known about. It's been joked about in political circles forever. Can you recap that for people who may be newer to this than you are?
Yeah, and I think this is really important, is that Joe Biden has been a mystery, the exact state of his health, for a long time. This has been widely reported, not just new in the original Sin book. It's been widely reported. You can read my book, Breaking Biden. And trust me, I'm not making more money on that book in all likelihood. I'm saying this because I did the research on this, and there's very little information about his health. And you're forced to report on stuff like, well, it looks like he has hair plugs, but the White House won't talk about it. Plastic surgeons have speculated he got a neck lift, and it wasn't a very good one, and this was 10 years ago, and that's why it looks weird. But they won't say anything about his health other than that he had a stiff gait. He had a stutter when he was growing up, and he had acid reflux. Those are the only things we were told about a guy who was rapidly deteriorating before our eyes. Jesse, he had two aneurysms in his brain that were removed. He was nearly paralyzed. There was a good chance he was going to die on the operating table. There is a minor miracle that he survived the 1980s, and then he became president in the 2020s. This stuff is not new information. This is old information, and Jake Tapper is acting like it's a revelation the guy was going brain dead. He's been going brain dead for 40 years before our eyes.
Alex, you obviously have a bunch of sources. You've wrote books. I want to know about Jill Biden, because this is a thing I can't get out of my head. Setting aside all the executive orders and pardons and everything else, Setting aside the fact that she sat there for 4 years while her non-functional husband pretended to be president and got laughed at by the entire planet, she was pushing him to run again and fight, according to sources, fighting hard behind the scenes to keep him in. For those of us on the outside looking in, that looks so soulless and evil, she's almost like a Disney movie villain. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is one where I don't have a ton to add because I feel like the speculations are pretty much right on. And this does come through in Tapper's book. And I do think it's accurate. Jill does come off as someone who's pushed him out there, doesn't want to give up the limelight, thinks of herself as a star, thought she was made to do this, and wanted him out there continuing to fight for the family's legacy. One thing to note about the Bidens is that family is their number one thing. Joe's ambition was, of course, a huge deal. He wanted to be president since, you know, the 19th century. I mean, whenever he was born, 150 years ago. He's wanted to be president that long, that's for sure. But the family completely bought in on it because he was their meal ticket. He was their ticket to fame. He was their ticket to fortune. He was their ticket to whatever is next, the next phase for them, legacy, et cetera. She loved the magazine cover. She loved the glamour. She thought of herself as a star. She did not want to give that up, especially not in humiliating fashion. So that is where I feel like the reporting has been pretty clear. She's a villain in this, absolutely.
Alex, thank you, my brother. As always, appreciate you, what you guys do.
Appreciate you, Jesse. Thank you.
I'd almost forgotten about that Vogue magazine cover till we just put it on the screen. Gosh, that freaking woman. Anyway, we have more next. I love my cell phone company. I love it even more in June, because you know June is coming, right? And June now has been claimed by the LGBTQ demon mob. And your cell phone company, they're going to take your money, the money you send Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and they're going to use it to pour putrid filth all over your culture. My watch company won't. My watch company is busy handing out American flags to veterans. CEO fought for this country in the jungles of Vietnam. Two tours with Mac V. Sog. Pure Talk hires Americans. Nobody does that anymore. Pure Talk, when you get a hold of them, you'll talk to an American who speaks English, and then it will be pleasant. Doesn't that sound like the kind of country who has earned, or the kind of company who that has earned your business? Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. Get a brand new phone or keep your phone. Brand new number or keep your number. Save a fortune and enjoy not supporting Pride Month. Well, as long as we're recapping the Biden decline, the Biden cover-up, maybe we should go clear back to, I guess it's not the beginning, but how did he get there to begin with? I mean, after all, Donald Trump was the current president, 4 years of it, and Joe Biden won an election. But how? Well, a critical piece of winning that election was the cover-up of Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's laptop. You see, right before the election, the American people started to realize that Hunter Biden, the son of the would-be president, was most likely a criminal. Somebody was talking about it a long time ago. Her name is Miranda Devine, wonderful columnist with the New York Post, and she authored the book, The Big Guy, which I'm sure you've already read. If you haven't, you probably should pick that one up. Miranda, there are so many scandals, so many cover-ups, so many guilty parties. It's easy to forget that Joe Biden likely would not have been in the White House had someone not covered up the fact his son's a dirtball.
Yes, not just that his son's a dirtball, Jesse, but also that Joe Biden was involved in the dirtball son's shady activities, influence peddling around the world when he was vice president and pulling in tens of millions of dollars from our adversaries, particularly China. So, yes, I think that is a far worse cover-up. Everyone's concentrating now on the cover-up, so-called, of Joe Biden's cognitive decline. But honestly, it's not much of a cover-up because it was out there on display for all of us to see every time he got in front of a camera or went out in public. And that was evident from you know, the very first days I was looking at him in January of 2020 in the primaries in New Hampshire and elsewhere, and he was just completely past it. He was not in a good shape. He needed to haul around a teleprompter to just do the most basic stump speeches. So sure, it's a cover-up if you pretend that conservative media doesn't exist, which is pretty much what Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson have done. They say, when they talk about the media and the cover-up and so on, they're just talking about their hemisphere.
Yeah, indeed. So, Miranda, let's talk about the cover-up. Who covered it up? The Federal Bureau of Investigation was undoubtedly involved. You and I have had this conversation before, but it's kind of a big deal if the nation's top federal law enforcement arm is hiding nefarious deeds, if you will, so a Democrat can win an election. That's like the biggest deal in the world.
It is, and I'm sort of astonished that it's still not elevated to being, you know, they're talking about the cover-up of the cognitive decline as being bigger than Watergate. This is what Jake Tapper himself says. But just no mention, even in the book, which I've read, there's like a cursory one-line mention of how the 51 former intelligence officials, mostly from the CIA, wrote that bogus letter after our first stories on the laptop came out, at the behest, may I point out, of Antony Blinken, who was Joe Biden's senior staffer in his campaign and went on to become Secretary of State. He instigates this letter. It's written, it's published, and that pretty much put the kibosh. It killed our story stone dead. That story, I think, is just, I mean, scandal isn't even a big enough word for it, because that was a CIA domestic election interference operation. Most of those people were from the CIA. Five of the signatories had been directors or acting directors of the CIA. And what's more, that letter was signed off by Gina Haspel, who was then the CIA director. It was passed by the sort of classification review board that they have to make sure there's no classified information in it. They realized internally that this was a very political document, and so they passed it up, and Gina Haspel said, no problem. So there you had the CIA signing off on a document that said that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation, and therefore you should just ignore all the damning evidence that was coming out of it, that we were publishing at the New York Post, that Joe Biden was corrupt and that he'd been lying to the public throughout the campaign when he said he knew nothing about his son Hunter's overseas business dealings. And that was the CIA. Meanwhile, the FBI had been in there with the social media companies just basically pre-bunking our story, telling them to look out for a hack and leak operation, likely in October of 2020. Our story was published October 14, and likely involving Hunter Biden. And that if they saw it, it was Russian disinformation and they knew what to do, which they did know what to do. They censored us immediately. So again, that was a big crimp in our stories being able to get out there and reach across the aisle. And it certainly stopped the New York Times or the Washington Post or any of those august publications from covering it. And Project Veritas at the time got a recording of a CNN news conference around that time. And you had Jeff Zucker and another one of his senior executives just telling all the other news executives, ignore the Hunter Biden laptop story that the New York Post has done, because A, we've seen it all before, and B, it's bogus. So there you go. I'm sure that conversation was had at newsrooms across the country, because nobody followed up this bombshell story with evidence and emails. I mean, it was not hard. You didn't need the laptop. All you needed to do was contact Tony Bobulinski, who was a recipient of one of those emails. Easy to find. You could have contacted Devin Archer, numerous other people that I have been talking to for 4 years to write my books and to continue writing stories. They didn't bother even trying.
Miranda, Why do you think, I'm asking obviously your opinion on this one, why was the intelligence community so invested in getting rid of Donald Trump and getting Joe Biden back there? FBI, look, anyone who watches this show or reads Miranda Devine can figure that out. But the CIA is a different animal altogether. Why?
Because they were afraid of his foreign policy. I mean, Donald Trump's a populist. He's an America First nationalist. He wasn't into foreign interventions, foreign wars, very opposed to the Iraq war, which was, a blob creation and the neocon, I guess you call it, arm of the Republican Party that's so opposed to Donald Trump. And I think it really does lie in the foreign policy issues. And, whether it be Ukraine, and for some reason, Donald Trump's very sort of hawkish on China. He sees China, his advisors see China as an existential threat and our biggest foe or our biggest challenger. And maybe the Chinese have told us themselves that Wall Street doesn't control Trump. And so maybe that's part of the problem too. Donald Trump was just seen and is uncontrollable. And that's not what the foreign policy and intelligence establishment wanted. Joe Biden, as we know, eminently controllable. Even before he started slipping in the brain department, he was just a patsy in the hands of whoever would pay him, whoever would give him power and sate his unquenchable ambition.
Miranda, you're the best. Thank you. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
Man, it's ugly. All right. Final thoughts. Next. Is there anything better than waking up in the morning and knowing you had a good night's sleep? Immediately you have set the tone for your day. Your eyes open and you're thinking, oh, work's going to be good today. School's going to be good today. And vice versa. When it sucked, when that sleep sucked, you know it. That's why I want to tell you about Dream Powder from Beam. One, I love hot chocolate because it's hot chocolate, okay? But you have it before bed. And you would never know it if I didn't tell you, but it has a bunch of natural things in it, like melatonin and reishi and all kinds of things, magnesium. And they just kind of relax you. Naturally, again, drug-free, natural things. You go to sleep, and when you wake up, you don't feel like you took something to sleep. You just feel good every day. You want to feel like that every single day? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go. Enjoy the best night's sleep of your life. All right, so like we said at the very beginning of the show, why even have this talk about the Biden cover-up, the Biden decline? Well, it's not only to look back, although that is important. It's about looking forward. It's about where we go from here and who we trust from here. You see, all the same entities and specific people who spent 4 years lying to your face in the most brazen way possible, where you would see President Cadaver on TV stumbling and mumbling, and then they would tell you how sharp he is. People who lie that easily and that brazenly, they don't do it once. They do it every day. It becomes ingrained in them. When you can tell a lie that big, it's in your bones. This is about going forward. The next time those very same entities run to the television to tell you anything, doesn't matter what it is. Maybe it's about a war. Maybe it's about the economy, the border. But doesn't matter what it is. The same people who lied to your face about something you could plainly see for 4 years will do it again and again and again. And that's why it's important to have these talks, because it reminds us we can never trust these people, ever. All right. We'll do it again.
This is an iHeart podcast.